This is Mind, Body, Soul. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Mind, Body, Soul with Gary Summers on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Gary Summers. Welcome to Mind, Body, Soul. I'm here with my co-host and producer, Claudette Burns. And we're going to continue our discussion on irrational thoughts and how to deal with that using cognitive behavior therapy. So just to give people a recap, and I would encourage listeners to go back and listen to last week's show because it kind of gives some framework as to exactly what cognitive behavior therapy is. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard the term, but they're not really, you know, maybe they haven't had a chance to be exposed to it or had a therapist walk them through some typical scenarios. So cognitive behavior therapy basically says that it's not what happens to us, it's our belief in what happens to us. It's called the ABCs of emotional freedom. The A being the activating event or the thing that happens to you. The B meaning your belief in what happens to you. And C being the consequence or the result of your belief in what happens to you. So to get started, sometimes we can create problems for ourselves when we manufacture emotional problems. And as cognitive behavior therapists, we call it emotional reasoning. And Claudette, let me know, jump in here now and tell me if this has ever happened to you, because these are very normal internal feelings. Have you ever felt that there's something wrong, but you don't know what it is?
Quite often, I'm with my husband, and all of a sudden, I will feel a certain emotion. And I would tell him, and I said, I don't know why I feel that way. And he would actually bring up something that had happened, and then it just triggered in me, like,
right.
That's the reason why I'm feeling that way.
And it may not be.
Okay.
You know, I think it's unreasonable to expect for you to be happy and elated 100% of the time, mm-hmm. just like it's unrealistic to be sad or upset or anxious 100% of the time. Social psychologists tell us if you can hit 85-90% happiness scale, you're doing really, really, really good. And one of the ways to do it is to live in now. Live in now. Mm-hmm. Not worry about what happened in the past or worrying about things, making assumptions about something that may happen in the future. I said last week that Mark Twain said, I've been through some terrible things in my life. Some actually happened. So here are some irrational thoughts before we get into, we're going to do our top 10 today, by the way. I woke up this morning anxious, so something must be wrong. I am afraid of flying, so it must be dangerous. I feel jealous, so my spouse must be up to something. And you brought up a good example earlier, Claudette, about when you mentioned to your husband, you know, I feel anxious, but I don't know what it is. And then your husband brought up something that could be totally unrelated to what it is. So that's when we talked last week about the magic of the pause, is about just pausing for a second and just recognizing, just acknowledging that feeling and letting it go. Because if you can't assign a meaning to it, you're going to go searching for one. And you'll search for one until you can find it, because that's the role of your subconscious mind. And then when you go search for something or your husband tells you something, oh, this is what, oh, well, that's the reason why. And then, of course, what do?
Go back to feeling the
same way? You'll go back to feeling the same way and you focus on the thing that was wrong.
I always thought it was important to find out exactly why you were feeling that way. You know?
Absolutely. So instead of asking, and there's a good point, not asking why you feel a certain way, but asking yourself, what do I need to do to make myself feel better?
Interesting. I think you should repeat that because everybody, I would think, felt the same way I did.
And most people do. I would consider why an irrational question, because why gets you focused on the problem? Why aren't our listeners out driving? Why aren't you making supper? Why aren't you cleaning your house? Why aren't you going out for a walk? Like, none of that helps us. I'm not saying never use the question why, but when you ask the question why, you'll get an answer you don't want to hear. Because why focuses on the problem. So what we need to do is to talk about what do we need to do to make things better. So the magic of the pause helps us do that. So instead of us searching for what's wrong and focusing on, well, I need a reason why I'm feeling this way. Well, maybe there is no reason.
Okay.
Maybe you just feel that way. And if you just don't assign a meaning to it, you just acknowledge it, it'll go away. Because obviously it's not an important issue because you don't even know what you're feeling.
I feel like I just had a light bulb moment with your comments right now.
And I think people tend to assign meanings to things that there's really... Some things are not meant to be understood. Carl Jung made this comment, and I thought it was pretty poignant. He said, some things in life are not meant to be understood. Just accept it. So if we just accepted the fact that, you know something, I don't feel 100% right now.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
But let it
go.
That's
okay, but let it go.
Yeah, okay.
Because when you dwell on that, you're going to dredge up something. Something is going to come up normally from your past.
And it's going to make you feel worse.
And it's going to make you feel, it's going to make you feel worse, right? So let's get into the top 10.
Okay.
Yes, our show even actually has a top 10.
Did we only get through one?
That's only the introduction.
Okay.
Yeah, David Letterman is not the only person who had a top 10. So the first one, and these are not in any particular order, all or nothing thinking. And all or nothing thinking is, if I don't get 100%, I failed. If I don't make a six-figure salary, I failed. If I'm not the perfect parent, if I'm not the perfect spouse, if I don't do everything perfectly right, I fail. And you can imagine, Claudette, how extremely stressful that must be for people who feel that they have to be perfect all the time, who won't accept a gray area. Another good example is you're doing really well on a diet. You know, you're dropping some weight, you're exercising, you're starting to feel good about yourself. You're into it a couple of months and you go to a party and you see a box of chocolates and you eat one chocolate and you go, ah, that's it. I screwed up my diet, and you eat the rest of the box.
Mm-hmm.
So you allow 5 seconds of indiscretion to totally undo 2 months of hard work. You're at work during the day and your day is going really well. And all of a sudden you get a phone call. Something happens, a client or a boss, whatever, and it just
throws you right off.
Throws you right off.
Yep.
You spend the rest of the day focusing on that. On your drive home, you focus on it. When you're eating dinner, you focus on it. At nighttime, you focus on it. When you go to bed, you focus on it.
You always said what you focus on gets bigger.
What you focus on gets bigger. So you forget about the 99 things you did right, and you focus on the one thing you did wrong. And then you beat yourself up over mm-hmm. the thing that you did wrong. So sometimes we just need to accept the fact that we're just imperfect human beings. So ask yourself, am I expecting perfection? What do I do right? After the break, we'll get into more of these irrational thoughts and mental mistakes.
Mind, body, soul. We'll be right back. This is Mind, Body, Soul with Gary Summers on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
Welcome back to Mind, Body, and Soul. I'm Gary Summers. I'm here with Claudette Burns. And Claudette, you mentioned in our first segment you had an aha moment.
I did have an aha moment. I really thought it was important to be detective when you're feeling bad about something and find out why you're feeling bad. But you say it's okay to just
let it be.
Let it be, acknowledge it, and let it go.
Let it go.
Okay.
Exactly. So here are some other ones. Catastrophizing. When you say something like, I can't stand it anymore. And some of the things could be, this is the worst thing that could happen. I got a flat tire. This is the worst thing that could happen. Or we're going to get 30 centimeters of snow tomorrow. I said that to a bunch of teachers one time, and they said, no, that's a good thing. It's going to be a snow day.
Yeah,
right. So I got to be careful when I say that to teachers. Or someone says, this is the end of the world. What's the only thing that can be the end of the world?
End of the world.
The end of the world. So when you create a catastrophe in your brain doesn't know the difference. So this kind of leads into what we, when we talked about this earlier. So ask yourself this question. How can I deal with this better? What's my truth about this? What can I do right now to fix this situation? Because when you say I can't stand it anymore, well, you can, because you're still here.
Mm-hmm.
You can stand it. It may be uncomfortable, but it's not the end of the world. So when you make that catastrophe in your brain, that creates all kinds of problems. Here's the most stressful. Social psychologists tell us that this mental mistake is the most stressful of all. Expectations.
Okay.
Expectations for yourself and expectations for other people. I must excel at everything. Everyone must like me. The world is fair. And here's the biggest one. My rules for me, my rules for you. So when you create that, what you're saying is that everybody should, here's the should word again, mm-hmm. everybody should think the same way as I do. If you have a different opinion than I do, my opinion is right, your opinion is wrong. So people tend to be want to be right fighters instead of doing what works. See, to me, I'd rather speak to someone who has a different opinion than I do rather than someone who has the same opinion as I do. Because if two people have the same opinion, one of them is useless. I'm not learning from someone who thinks the same way as I do. I enjoy talking to people who have a different opinion than I do. So you need to ask yourself, are my expectations normal? Are people entitled to their own feelings? Are people entitled to their own opinions? Now, that gets into another realm of opinions and being judgmental and things like that. So next one, overgeneralization. When you say things like always, you're always late, you're never on time, nobody likes me, everybody hates me. When you say things like that, like that's an irrational thought, because I'm never right is an irrational thought, because we need to sometimes step back and say, well, and when you say you're never right, what do you focus on?
All the things that are wrong.
All the things that you did wrong. And you go back in time. Well, see, I made that mistake here and I made that mistake there.
You make it come true.
And you make it come true. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. And then you focus on all the things you did wrong instead of focusing on all the things you did right. Yes, if something didn't work out for you, you have a birthright to beat yourself up over it and say, how stupid was I to do that? If I make a decision and it doesn't work out for me, I don't beat myself up over it, because here's the key, and we'll get into another irrational thought later. We always make the best decision available to us. And I want our listeners to hold that thought, because this one will kind of lead us into that. So you exaggerate the importance of an event. And a good example is you go to a stop sign and you look both ways and you go through the stop sign, and then someone runs another stop sign and almost clips the front of your car, and you just miss the accident. Every single time you go to that stop sign or that intersection, you're going to feel anxious.
Yes.
Because you're going to think that every time you go to that intersection, you're going to have that same issue. You're on a flight and it's turbulent, and that could cause an irrational fear of flying. So then you expect the plane or the flight to be turbulent. And any time there's a little bump, all of a sudden, your blood pressure goes up, because you're thinking, here we go again. Here we go again, right?
Seems like you're describing me on a plane,
well,
really.
Well, what I'd like for everybody, I'm sure I'm describing a lot of listeners, how they let those irrational thoughts get in the way, how we let our emotions get in the way of us leading a happy life. If you have a bad breakup, a boyfriend, and you had a bad breakup, and then you have an irrational thought of all guys are jerks. If you allow that to generalize or overgeneralize into every single male, then every person you meet, or you have an irrational thought that, I've broken up with many people before, so this one is going to be no different. You will look for evidence to prove yourself right. And then you will basically sabotage your relationship, because you're looking for something that's wrong. Claudette, every single person we all meet, we can find something wrong with them if you look hard enough.
But why would you want to?
Well, exactly. But people do. People do. I always say, you don't have to love everything about someone to love that person.
That's right.
But that's that unrealistic expectation if you expect someone to be perfect. So when we have those irrational thoughts, then we self-sabotage our relationships. We self-sabotage because we know that something is going to happen, because it's happened 2, 3, 4, 5 times before, just like that happened at that intersection, that something is going to happen, and you will create that self-fulfilling prophecy in your mind that I'm getting that person before that person gets me. And that's irrational. So ask yourself these questions. Am I too general? Am I like applying this to every single aspect of my life? what am I ignoring? Am I ignoring the good qualities of this person, or am I focusing on all the negative things of this person? Because when you say things like, I'm never right, that's irrational. Because when we say that, as I said before, we focus on and go back. When you said, I feel anxious this morning when you talked last week about to your husband, and he said, well, maybe this is the reason why. And then we assign that meaning instead of thinking, okay, this is just a thought, so I'm just going to let that thought go.
Yeah, it will pass.
It'll pass, right? So the next one is, if only. If only I had taken a different job. If only I had moved somewhere else. If only I had married a different person. Regrets. Regrets are probably one of the biggest things that I see so many people come in to see me about. So I said earlier that we always make the best decision available to us.
Mm-hmm.
Who makes the second best decision? Well, I have choice A and I have choice B. I know choice A is the best choice. But you know something? I'm just going to pick choice B.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So why if so I say we always make the best choice available to us, not necessarily for us. Maybe you had more information now than you had back then. Maybe your circumstances are different now than they were back then. I mean, hindsight, yes, we know what hindsight is. So when you regret, when you have a regret, you're focusing on the past. You're focusing on something you can't change. You can't shovel last year's snow, and you can't walk in it either. After the break, we'll finish up with our final few irrational thoughts.
Mind, Body, Soul with Gary Summers. We'll be right back. This is Mind, Body, Soul with Gary Summers on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Gary Summers, and I'm here with Claudette Burns discussing our most irrational thoughts. So let's continue the discussion. Next irrational thought is possibility versus probability. What is the chance of something happen versus the guarantee of something happen? And this is one of the things that people tend to exaggerate. You know, what are the chances of the elevator getting stuck? Is it possible? Sure, it's possible, right?
But it's probably not probable.
It's probably not probable. What are the chances? But we tend to let those emotions take over. You know, is it possible there could be a turbulent flight? Absolutely. Probably, probably not. Now, if you're the type of person that's thinking, you know, the elevator is just waiting for me to get on it.
Okay. You're looking at me. You're pointing your finger. I will start something off with my internal dialogue and say, with my luck, this will happen.
Okay. Right. So again, you know, you may feel uncomfortable getting on an elevator, but don't assign a meaning to it. There's the issue. The meaning you're assigning to it is it's going to get stuck. I feel uncomfortable because I had a bad flight the last time. I'm going to have a bad flight this time. So you're going to totally destroy the enjoyment of the flight. Choosing to versus having to. Here's a big one. When you say things like, I have to, I got to, I must, there's a thing in your subconscious mind called a neediness factor. It detects need. Nobody, and I'm sure you're the same way, likes to be told they have to do something. Like if I said to you, Claudette, I read this book. It's a really good book and you should read it. Well, your internal, your subconscious mind is going to say to yourself, you don't even realize you're saying it. Well, if I thought I should have read it, don't you think I would have read it by now? So when choosing to versus having to, I got to go to work, I have to go to work, that creates a problem. So instead of saying I have to, say I choose to. I choose this job because I want a certain lifestyle. I want to give my kids a better life. So when you focus on choosing to and focusing on the reasons why you choose this, that's much easier on your subconscious mind than saying, I have to, because no one wants to be forced to do anything.
Right. For me, have to equates to it's a chore and a negative connotation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because you're being forced to do it. So ask yourself, what are the benefits of me doing this? What is my motivation? Why do I get up every morning and go to work? What was I hired to do? What are people waiting for me to do? I remember I did a stress seminar for the security guards and the custodians at Memorial University many, many years ago. And I walked in and the first thing I said was, I really would like to think that you guys understand the importance of your job. Because I can come in here to a clean classroom. I can go to a washroom and it's nice and clean and it smells nice. I can park my car out in the parking lot and I know it's safe. I hope each and every one of you understand how important your job is, that you have a good reason to get out of bed in the morning. So when we say I choose this as opposed to I have to, it creates a whole different, as you pointed out earlier, an internal dialogue. Because you think about it differently, and when you think about it differently, you feel about it differently.
And those feelings can turn into being physical as well, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Because then you're stressed about going to work and stuff like that. I got a really good story, and this is a true story. I was probably 12 or 13, I guess, at the time. My brother was 2.5, 3 years younger than me, and we sat down to supper one night, and I spied 2 pieces of apple pie. And one was a really big piece, and one was a small piece. And so I ate my supper really fast, and I grabbed a big piece of apple pie.
Okay.
And my brother looked at it and realized what I had done, and he said, "Mom, Gary picked the big piece of pie and left the little piece of pie for me." And I said, "Brian, if you had your first choice, what would you have picked?" He said, "I would have picked a small piece." I said, "Well, you got it. What are you complaining about?" And Mom laughed, and my brother just went, "He got me. He got me." But he put a label on it. He said I was greedy. And he was right.
You were. I was just going to say, he was right.
But I was 12 years old. I didn't know the difference. I know the difference now. So labels. Here's the mental mistake. It's labeling people. See, here's my view on life, Claudette. There are no stupid people in the world. There are human beings who do stupid things. There are no alcoholics in the world. There are human beings who have difficulty with alcohol. There are no drug addicts in the world. There are human beings who have difficulty with drugs. You see, when we put a label on someone, we act towards that person as if they are the label. We aggressively attack their behavior. You know, we all wound up pretty good. A lot of us wound up in a pretty good place, you and I. We face adversity, but not the type of adversity that a lot of people in this world face. 2 more, Claudette, and this one is the most common, and it's making assumptions. Mind reading, fortune telling, jumping to conclusions. So when you're making an assumption, ask yourself this question. Am I thinking it, or is it a fact? So someone cut you off in traffic. What's the only thing that's a fact about that situation?
Is that somebody cut you off?
Now, is it possible he's a reckless driver? Is it possible?
Absolutely.
Sure it is, but mm-hmm. You don't know that. So here's the question that I ask if you're ask people to think about. Ask yourself, am I thinking this or is it a fact? And in just about every case, you're just thinking it. So stop thinking it. So just stop thinking. If I put $100,000 outside this door and I say, "Claudia, you got a 50-50 chance when you open the door, there's going to be someone there with a gun and he's going to shoot you." Would you open up the door? Absolutely not. But when you make an assumption, you're playing the odds that you may be right, but you may be wrong as well. So what I say to people is stick to the facts. What is it the only thing that you know about this situation? 6 years ago, my dad had a stroke, and unfortunately, me and my wife were in when the doctor said, you know, this is probably, he was on a life support, and we took him off life support. And my brother took a long time to get into the hospital. I said, Brian, what happened? He was the same guy with the apple pie, right? He said, I tried to get past someone on the parkway, and he wouldn't let me pass. Now, the guy in front of him assumed he was a reckless driver, but all my brother wanted to do was see his father before he died.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know. You know, but we tend to make these assumptions that, you know, someone is a crazy driver. And I'd say, if someone cuts me off in traffic, I say, you know, I don't know why you're in such a rush, but I hope you get to where you're going and you don't hurt yourself and you don't hurt anyone else in the process, and I let it go. I don't assign a meaning to it. I don't assign a meaning to it because I don't know what it is. The most devastating, and this is the last one, is confusing helplessness with hopelessness. And what that means is helplessness means you just haven't found the answer. Hopelessness means you don't think an answer exists.
Mm-hmm.
So my view is that there is an answer for every problem. All you need to do is keep looking for it. If you live in hope and possibility, then anything is possible. But once you turn that helplessness to hopelessness, you tend to give up.
Yeah, game over. So, Gary, what can we do?
Okay, there are three simple things we can do. Number one is we can just change your perspective. The next time you notice yourself feeling anxious or depressed, just let the thought pass. Just don't assign a meaning to it. Balance your thoughts. if you get anxious when you're in crowds and avoid them, you might tell yourself that if you tried to go to a crowded place like a sports game or a concert, you'd panic. You might do something to embarrass yourself. And you'll find that it's those assumptions and those feelings that stop you from doing it. And thirdly, be patient and kind with yourself. I'd like to end off on this note. Treat yourself the same way you treat someone you love, because you're already complete. So I want everybody to remember that, treat yourself the same way you treat someone you love, because you're already complete. That's our show this week, everybody. We'll be back next week, both myself and Claude out with a guest.
If you have a question or comment for Gary Summers, email mindbodysoul@vocm.com. This has been Mind, Body, Soul with Gary Summers on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network.